Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kirsten Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and today I have a guest with me today. She's been on the show before, and of course she's back because we just love having conversations. Nicole Woodard, Dr. Nicole Woodard, is here. She's going to introduce herself and give a little background as far as who she is and how she got to doing what she's doing now. And then we'll go from there, but we're going to talk about like nervous system regulation, big lifing things in the happiness cycle, which is what she has going on right now. So Nicole, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be back. And, also for just all of your audience and my audience and anyone new to the podcast, just to get to hear we've had an ongoing friendship now for several years. Mm-hmm. So it all
shifted through all of the changes. Yeah, we did. We started with a podcast. Literally, I reached you. You talked about in a group. You were like, "Hey, does anybody know of any guests?" And I was like, "I mean, I could be a guest."
And then it budded, and we traveled together, and we've done courses together, and it's just mm-hmm. been awesome. So I know when I was starting out my healing journey, and even my business journey, I was so drawn to groups of women who became friends and kind of did the things all alongside of each other. And so I think it's really cool when people realize it really can be that simple of just like somebody answers a thing for a podcast or, to come be a guest or to, help you out on something. And so, inspiration for all of you. And I'll introduce myself. I'm Dr. Nicole. And I have a doctor of physical therapy. I've been practicing for almost 15 years now. I originally started, spent a decade working in the professional athlete realm and Olympians. And I thought I would keep going that way. And as I got deeper and deeper into the world, I realized that there was some big fundamentally missing pieces. And that really came down to nervous system regulation. So all the while that I'm kind of overworking, struggling to balance my family, my work, I'm noticing the exact same thing in all the athletes that I'm working with. We're all drawn, pulled by this purpose to do something bigger and to help people. And yet we struggle to find the balance, and we're like, how much do we sacrifice? And what ends up being sacrificed is our nervous system, which also limits our potential. So in 2020, I made a massive shift. I left traditional healthcare and went full-time in my business that I'd had since 2017. And then this really incredible thing happened where I had a massive breakdown. We added a newborn baby to our family, and then we also added her 14-year-old brother all within 4 months. And I couldn't manage business. And my husband looked at me and he said, "Babe, you now are doing this to yourself. There's mm-hmm. no one else to blame." And I was like, "I mean, you're lucky I love you so much, because right now I really hate you."
Yeah, it's a tough thing to hear, but like, yeah. He loves you so much to be able to say that.
And that was when I realized that I had to change something. So one night in my bathtub, I literally dripped all the way to my computer and then dripped all the way back to the bathtub, sent a message, canceled all of my clients, sent them my recommendations of who they should follow up with for practitioners, offered to pay for 1 month of services for them if they needed anything. And I pretty much went MIA for almost 7 months. In that 7 months, I did the deepest healing growth of my life. And that's really what brought me here today, back on your show, back to talk about what is difference and how has that allowed me to have the most joy, productivity, consistency, and all the things that we're really craving.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? I'm going to camp on this for a second, then we'll actually get into the good stuff. Well, this is all the good stuff, but we'll get into the meat of what we're going to talk about today. But isn't it interesting how, especially, well, I'd say through parenthood and being an entrepreneur, like owning a business, so much of like what the goals are, like what we want and what we want to bring to life, like the big dreams, kind of get stuck in the like, why isn't it here yet? But then you realize like how much you have to like shift and change in order to actually bring that thing in. Cause it's almost as if like, well, it is as if we kind of have to set up we have to get through the thing so that we can actually hold and carry the big dream that we want.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go through all that healing and all. And I think I just see this more and more, that I'm starting to, a lot of people I think are starting to wake up to the fact that like the reason why the goals aren't here is because it's not because you're not eating the right foods and, you know, working out and like, you know, meditating every day and like doing and sleeping for 8+ hours and like doing all of the things. There's a lot more actually going on, in like the patterns and the ways that we're thinking and what's going on in our beliefs and subconscious mind that's really driving so much of why we actually don't have what we want. And that's, that healing is really where the growth has to happen in order to bring that in.
Yeah. So if you, you know, if you go to the car lot and you're a person that your families have always bought Chevy, so you're going to go buy yourself a new Chevy Cruze. I don't even know if that's a car anymore, but you know, I'm a minivan driver. Don't knock on the minivan. Those things are so sweet. And whenever you have three children piling out of those things, the fact you have the automatic doors and they're not clunking into other people's cars. Like I literally feel like one of those people that rolls up to the club with like the door, like the back doors.
Yes.
That's how I feel in my
good
minivan.
That's a good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel so cool. Mm-hmm. So your family's always bought Chevy. Has always shopped maybe in the Chevy or the Ford. So maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to like break the rules and I'm going to buy a Ford. Or, you know, maybe you are there to buy a Chevy Cruze. You go home and you park the Chevy Cruze in your garage, right? You're like, bought this new car. You're super excited about it. 2 years later, let's just say that all of a sudden you are a completely different person. And you go to the car lot and you're like, man, I'm going to buy a Ferrari. One, to even test drive that vehicle, you have to become a completely different person, let alone to drive that baby off the lot as yours.
Totally.
But then you get home and you realize this really crazy thing that you actually forgot to move the Chevy Cruze, still parked in the garage. Are you going to drive that Ferrari into the garage, like over top of the Chevy Cruze? There's not a space for it. It's impossible. So then you kind of have two choices. You can drive the Chevy Cruze out of the garage and you can park it in front of your house. And then the Ferrari has a spot in the garage, but that Chevy Cruze is still sitting there. Or you have to decide, like, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to get rid of it. I am the type of person that's fully committed to, I own a Ferrari now, and I'm fully that person. There's no like, well, with some friends, I'll drive the Cruze. When I go to family reunion, I'll take the Cruze because they'll judge me for having the Ferrari. This is what we do with our beliefs. This is how we like hold on to them. And it sounds really silly about the car, but for a lot of people, it makes sense. Like, oh yeah, I drive very similar vehicles to what my parents drove when I was growing up. Like,
yes. And
exactly. And you would never all of a sudden buy a vehicle that you didn't have a space for. And you wouldn't try to ram a brand new vehicle over top of an identity, a vehicle that you already owned, right? That makes no sense. But we do that with beliefs all the time. We're like, oh, I'm going to become this different person, but I want to hold on to all of this stuff because it feels really safe. And, you know, great, I'm a Jean might not like me. Like, you know, if I'm a Ferrari driver, or if I decide that I'm a person that dresses in bright colors, or if I decide that I don't want to be a mom, or I decide that I do want to be a mom, or I decide I want to parent different. Like these are all fundamental issues and they jack with our nervous system. I mean, imagine what that would do to the foundation of your garage if you drove both those vehicles in there on top of each other, right? Like it's not going to work.
Right.
That's essentially what happens to our nervous system when we try to stack identities and beliefs versus actually changing.
Yep. And that actual change too could literally look like shifting into a more positive mindset when we're so used to kind of visual, like seeing the world kind of through like a negative lens, which is how our brains are sort of wired to do, but also you know, we have to, it can be safe living in that world, even if it's not working for us, it can feel very safe because we know it. And so it can kind of be a little bit like taking that Cruze and actually parking it out on the street or actually selling it can feel really terrifying.
Very.
And be very, very difficult to do, to then be able to actually buy the Ferrari that the whole work of a lot of that can feel, well, like, why wouldn't you just stick with the cruise? Like, maybe it's not the Ferrari and it's not the like big thing, but when we settle just for that and then, you know, are still kind of wishing that we could have the Ferrari, like that's a really tough space to be in. So it's kind of up to the person to decide they're ready to actually take that journey. It's not a walk in the park, I would say.
An understatement.
Oh, I know. You and I both. I know who I'm talking to, obviously. And we both know what we've both been through. I mean, it's not the easiest thing to do, but would you say that it's worth it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would definitely say it's worth it because, you know, I had a moment. It was probably, so I came back to work in April of 2023, after the 7 months off. So it was probably it was January that year. I had this moment, and I don't know, like if, I know you will relate to this and I'm sure lots of people out there will. I had spent years hating myself. Like I started counseling when I was 12. I mean, I always felt like I didn't necessarily fit in, constantly trying to prove myself. I was an overachiever. I was exhausted. Even in high school, I was this way. And it kind of just kept perpetuating itself. And so I really disliked fundamentally who I was. And I had this moment, I was like washing dishes, you know, hadn't worked in several months, had no idea if I would ever go back to work. And I started dying laughing. I mean, like full on belly laughing, cracking up. I have no idea what came over me. And I was like, I'm never going to work again. And I actually still really like myself. I think I'm fucking cool. And
yeah,
I'm like, that was a pivotal moment for me. I waited years and years and years. Like, I've always loved this work. I've always been attracted to personal development, reading the books, doing the things. And I still had never gotten to the point where I liked myself. So it was like kind of in this like pit of the bottom of the pit that I was like, oh, I'm actually in the very bottom of the pit with really no sunlight shining down. And yeah. I actually think I'm pretty cool. That was life-changing. So to have that moment and now to have those moments, it's not that I don't have hard moments. I do, but I fundamentally know who I am now and I'm willing to continue to believe in that person, to continue to make decisions for that person. I would do the work over, even if it was 100 times harder, knowing that I would get there.
Yeah. We actually had that conversation because for those who don't know, I have a 4 month old and just recently was feeling like what like who am I if I'm not running a business? If I like am, and I'm gonna say this in words that I know exactly what I'm saying, but like if I'm just a mom, like what does that mean? And how do I actually feel about that? And at the core, like, who am I if I'm like none of those things? And like, that was such a like deep moment. It was just even just a couple months ago. Like, it's wild how fast time flies, but like, it's world rocking when your identities start to like kind of shift and are starting to kind of feel like, there's got to be room for both, but there's not this. It's like the Chevy Cruze and the Ferrari. Like, we got to create like a 2-car garage.
Exactly.
So that they can both sort of fit, but like taking a 1-car garage and making it 2 and then expecting for yourself to be able to just like immediately and instantly do that. Like, not necessarily the easiest thing. So I think one of the things that you talk a lot about that is just so great is having that compassionate patience, almost like with yourself and with the process in and of itself, because it can be so hard. Because I mean, there's pressures, right? There's pressures of life. There's pressures of finances. There's like taking 7 months off of like nothing, not working at all. Like, that's missing a potentially a very significant chunk of income. And like, what does that then look like, you know? So it's, I agree with you. Like, I would never go back. Like, I'm so thankful and grateful for all of the work that I've done and where I'm at, but it also doesn't mean that it's always a walk in the park, even after doing all of the things too. But you do have different tools and different resources and different perspectives and ways of looking at things. So I feel like you build out that second car garage, like a little bit, just differently than if you didn't have like the contractors and the people like helping you out, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you kind of know what all you want, what you want in there, what you want the size to be. Like, there's just different pieces. And I think it's really, I loved what you said about just like compassionate, like kindness and curiosity with yourself. This is something that I talk to people about all the time. I'm like, I don't care if you want to talk like crap to yourself. That's fine. As long as if you are talking about wanting balance in your life, as long as you're using that much time and energy to talk good to yourself too, that's fine. If you want to go in the pits of despair and like, you know, make a mistake and are like, I'm the ultimate failure, nothing ever works, cool. That's awesome. As long as on the opposite side, when something goes well, that you're the person that's jumping up and down saying, holy crap, everything works out for me. I'm freaking amazing. Can you believe that I just did that? Because holy crap, not everybody could do that. And I did it. And like, I don't care. But if you can't do that one, then you don't get to do this one either. And I think that's what you're talking about with just how do you make space for all of it? And that's really where the nervous system stuff comes in, right? Your nervous system has to be able to live in the highs and lows with also calmness in between. You can't just like, you can't just hang out. Like most people don't understand how the nervous system is created, which have you talked about that?
No, we're going to get into it. So you can go ahead and lead us right into that. So what is the nervous system and what are the different facets of, what does it mean? I mean, we've touched on it and talked about it and people kind of know, but like, go ahead and just give us a little bit of a, what is it?
Okay, perfect. So nervous system is literally like your brain, your spinal cord, and every single hormone, neurotransmitter, chemical that would go with it that essentially creates all the changes in your body. So that's all it is. And how that's it was created, it the very, that's it. Just the most complex thing literally maybe in our world. But it's really interesting to me. The thing that finally broke through and helped me understand is how it was created. So the very first part of your nervous system that you get when you are becoming human is your dorsal vagal system. This is still part of your parasympathetic nervous system. Those of you guys that have heard of like sympathetic, parasympathetic, but this is your shutdown. This is your freeze. This is like dissociation. So your heart rate will slow down. Your digestion will really slow down. This is really like, I don't feel safe. I'm going to curl up and like be a possum and pretend to be dead and hope that everyone goes away for a little bit because I can't, I'm just not safe in my body. I'm not safe in this world. The next phase that gets created is this is your sympathetic, your fight or flight system. So this is like, I'm like going to run. I'm feeling really anxious. I'm being chased, like I'm going to fight, I'm going to flight, something along those routes, right? This is like high intensity, your heart rate goes up. Digestion does typically slow down because most of your blood and other things is being pumped just to like keep you alive.
Your muscles, so, mostly.
Yeah, muscles, those pieces. Mm-hmm. Then the third part of the system, which is what we're all looking to live in, is ventral vagal. This is the parasympathetic part of the system that we're talking about when we talk about like parasympathetic tools or, you know, like vagus nerve tools, thumping your chest, humming, gargling, those pieces we're talking about being in ventral vagal. So it's really interesting. Ventral vagal is like, I'm safe in the world is safe with me, cool. When we live here, really anything is possible for us. Now, here's the kicker. If you are in dorsal vagal, if you're in shutdown freeze mode, you have to come through fight or flight to get to ventral vagal. You cannot just go from I'm in freeze mode to like I'm happy and safe. Like you've got to go through the system. So this is also, people have to be really careful. I know you and I both attract a lot of people that like to work out, that fitness is like important to them. You have to be really careful when you're fitnessing. If you are in ventral vagal, which means like I like to test it, I use CO2 tolerance and HRV to know if you're actually there. Yeah. If your CO2 tolerance is horrible and your HRV is horrible, you're not in ventral vagal, period. Like, yeah, but you're just not. Yeah. So you work out, like if you're in ventral vagal, you work out, you just come back down to ventral vagal, right? You just hang out there, which is what we all want. That's where our highest performance, our best success is. If you live in fight or flight and stressed out mode all the time, and then people, I love the people that say, I have to work out in order to go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
You're just pushing yourself so far into stress that you're literally in dissociation and shutdown, and that's how you're sleeping. That's not safety.
Right.
And then they wake up the next morning and the alarm goes off and they go back into fight or flight and they're like, oh my God, I gotta get everything done. Da, 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 da. Or the alarm goes off and then they're like, screw this, I'm calling in sick to work. This is where I lived. Like, I can't function today. Back into fight or flight, back into bed.
Yep.
Like, this is where I'm at. And I would just hang out there the whole time.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's a really good like intro into all of those things. The one thing that I wanted to say, allergies or something are kicking up, I'm not sure, but the one thing I wanted to like add to that is that with the, well, actually that dorsal system is one that I tend to kind of hole up in sometimes. Just it, I don't know. Do you actually, let me ask you this. Do you feel like some people kind of have proclivities to go into those systems a little bit more than others, like the dorsal vagal system?
It really depends on your childhood, honestly. You know, like I had the proclivity to like live there too, because I thought and I would create an environment of stress to get things done. So I was a procrastinator and an overachiever, which all those things are very, and
no wonder we're friends.
Exactly. So like, I'm like a procrastinator, which is like deadlines, right? Are like coming up. So all of a sudden your system kicks in and then you get stuff done. That's fight or flight. Then also I'm a people pleaser. So I'm constantly watching people to see if they like me or just literally all the balloons. That's what happens if you do the peace sign on the Zoom. So then we wanted to talk about joy and happiness.
Yeah. So then,
if you're constantly watching other people, that's very much a trauma response. You're in fight or flight. You're trying to figure out if other people are safe, if you're going to survive. And then overachievement, right? It's like, I've got to achieve stuff. I have to get recognition or else I might die. Those are all fight or flight responses. So then the only time I shut down is whenever I pushed so far that then I was shut down. But I really think that was a trauma response from my youth. So I think it's really about, this is why you and I do the belief work of like, what did 0 to 7 look like for you? What was support? What were expectations? Were boundaries safe? Was communicating your needs safe? If not, it doesn't even matter how great your parents were. They may have tried to the best of their abilities, but they just may have not had the skills to be able to help you. It doesn't mean capital T trauma. But yeah, then I think that they would have a higher proclivity to be there. That's the only safe place to be.
Yeah. Yep. So there's probably a lot, I would venture to guess there's a lot of people who sort of are probably thinking like, oh, that's me right mm-hmm. now. What are some, well, I would say first off, if there is anyone out there right now listening or watching that is feeling like, okay, all of these patterns are me, and you're starting to kind of get into the like shame or guilt cycle of like, ugh, like now what? And like, oh, this, all these things are like wrong. I actually have two ways I want to go with this. I want to go back to like the kind of like mom or athlete, like we're just loading up the stress, but I want to go here first. If they are sort of experiencing a little bit of this, like, ugh, like this is definitely something that is me and I kind of feel bad about it. What's something that you would say to that person if they're kind of going down that pathway?
I would literally applaud you because like you're recognizing your emotions,
mm-hmm.
which if you have guilt and shame about it, it means that you also have the complete opposite. You can't have guilt about something and not have a part of you that believes that you don't have to live that way anymore. So I'd be like, cool. Which one are you going to give the most voice to?
Right.
So, and then like guilt and shame, those were my two hardest emotions to release. And they were the most life-changing for me. So also that's where the work, that's where coaching, that's where guidance can really come in. Because if you already are recognizing like, I'm walking down this path, I feel like crap. Oh my gosh, they're talking about me. I don't want to live this way anymore. Cool. Let's not. Like there are tons of coaches for you, tons of opportunities for you, which at what point are you going to decide? Like, is this podcast enough of a pain point that you're going to decide like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm done. I'm going to move forward. Or do you need something else in your life? For me, in years past, I needed a whole lot of pain to decide to change. Now I pick up little nuances of clues like, oh, okay, I'm just going to do the thing. Like, I don't need all that. I don't need like 12 years of infertility. And
Right.
I don't need all that. Thank you for all those lessons. And
mm-hmm.
like, let's not make it so painful this time around.
Right.
And so that's what I would say. Congratulations. Like, you just became aware, one, that you have a part of you that believes that your life can be better, which is pretty freaking cool. Some people don't even have that part. Celebrate the crap out of it. Two, your unconscious mind just gave you the very first clue that it's ready for change. So like, let's go for a ride.
So good. I call it compassionate awareness.
You love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, this is all great. I love it. So then on the flip side, so if we're, and this is something that I've been talking about a lot for like on the mom and like motherhood side, which I know you have three kids and also added two of those kids very quickly to your world. When you're kind of, when we're talking about the nervous system, and you mentioned it at the beginning, is like creating a lot more of this like sort of like flexibility and elasticity inside of the like the nervous system, where we can sort of flow in between the states. It's not that we necessarily want to get stuck in one or the other. We want to be able to actually utilize and flow within them, because it's not like we're never going to get triggered by something, or we're never not going to be like in something's not going to, we're never going to not be in the fight or flight mode, right? We need that for exercise. We need that for training, and we need that for all sorts of different things. But when we're feeling like we're in that loop of constantly like waking up in fight or flight and then going to sleep and like barely recuperating before we're back in the stress mode of the day again, what are some ways that people can start to just see that a little bit differently, of maybe starting to get a little more parasympathetic into their day? And like, what's kind of the importance of that?
Yeah. So I think step one is just realizing it doesn't have to be long. So all of us are really busy. So you don't have to, some tools that you and I both teach are like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up in the morning and I either have water right by my bed or like in the bathroom. And so I gargle 30 seconds as soon as I wake up. I don't use an alarm. I know that's really risky, but like, welcome to entrepreneur life. But also like, even like my kids typically wake me up, they're early risers. So I just know that they're going to get me up. So I don't like the sound of an alarm. So a lot of times I might set an alarm that's like very last minute that I need to get up, but it's still on vibrate. That can be another indication too. If you need a really loud alarm, that can also be an indication that you're a little bit in that shutdown mode. So whenever you go to sleep, it's hard for you to like rouse back again. And then, so yeah, 30 second tools. I'm trying to think what else like would be, there was like another part of your question.
Oh no, that's great. That's actually, I was going to say that's a big life hack is, anything that's like short and sweet that you will actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing that right now with more of like, I'm in a program right now that's more, you're taking 2 minutes a day to kind of get into like a heart-centered, like positive state of just believing whatever it is that you want, like is possible. And it's just, and it's 2 minutes, 2 minutes, like you can do just about anything for 30 seconds to 2 minutes a day. And it just has such a big impact and actually I'll sometimes do that 2 minutes multiple times throughout the day if it's a particularly difficult day.
Yeah, same. I mean, that's the thing. Even breath work. So like I'm a breath work facilitator. 2 minutes is all it takes to make a chemical change. So you don't need a long time. You need consistency. So like short, consistent, short, consistent, short, consistent. Like if you look at something and you ask yourself, can I keep doing this for the next 5 years? And the answer is absolutely not. Like, you know, if you wake up and you're like, my morning routine is going to be, I can't remember, somebody was like, they did like a hilarious meme about somebody who doing this podcast, and he was talking about his morning routine, and it was literally like 2 hours long. And I'm like, okay, well, that's really cute. And that's awesome for him. Good. Also, most of us are waking up and we don't have that time. So if you look at it and you ask yourself, am I going to be able to keep doing this for the next 5 years, no matter what happens, right? Like literally something can happen. All three of my kids can be sick with the flu. I can wake up in the morning and gargle water. Like I could be up all night and be like, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth and like the day is starting and I can go gargle. So I think it's really picking things that allow life to life and you to still stay consistent.
Mm-hmm. That's like the theme of this is like allowing life to life and you can still do the things.
Mm-hmm.
Still do the things. Yeah, I think that's one of the most common, I would say, like misconceptions, but also maybe one of the biggest like self-limiters is like, well, it won't work for me. Like my life is too hectic and too crazy and too busy with like all the kids and all the things and all the stuff that I do. There's no way that it'll work for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to say that, that will be true.
Mm-hmm. It will be true. You're right.
And it feels like crap to say that again. That is your unconscious mind telling you that there's a part of you that doesn't believe that. Because like, if that was really true for every fiber of your being, there are people that are like, this is just my life. And they're 100% okay with it. One of the most powerful stories I ever heard was a woman, and she had debilitating chronic pain. And she also was wheelchair bound. Mm-hmm. And this woman interviewed her and she just said, she was like, how you are one of the most positive people, even being in your energy, it feels so good. And yet you have all these things going on. And she's like, well, this is just my physical body. This is just my life and that's okay. And also I choose to control all the controllables for myself. And that feels really good. I think often we think all of a sudden healing is going to look like everything goes away. It's not. It's that everything is still there.
Yes.
And you're a different person living in it. Feels different in your body. So when you say something and it feels like crap, it's because there's a part of you that doesn't believe that. There's a part of you that wants something that's different. And so I think it's really about leaning into that part and asking yourself, okay, what can change here?
Yep.
And how?
Yep. Yep. That's if for anybody listening or watching, rewind about 30 seconds and re-listen to that again. Because that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like when we call more ease into our life, it doesn't mean that we're going to be lazy and that we're not going to like do anything but even then it would be good to probably look at what your beliefs are around being lazy and all of that too. But that's, I think, one of the, again, another really common misconception around doing all any and all of this work is like, well, if I have more ease in my life and I'm not subscribing to the struggle bus anymore, does that mean that I'm just going to sit on the couch and do nothing and just never achieve anything else in my life ever again? I mean, if you
God,
want.
I felt that so deep. Did you go through that too?
Oh,
I'm just like, okay.
Like, of course, that's how I can speak to it.
I mean, I went through that where I was just like, oh my gosh, like if I let myself take a nap every day, that like I will be the laziest person ever and I will never, never accomplish anything. And now it's so funny. I'm like, oh, once I let myself take a nap every day, there's a period of time, about 6 months, that I needed a nap every day. Like my body was literally physically healing. I needed it. And then it started to get to a point where I couldn't even fall asleep anymore. And I started to realize, actually, I just need an energetic break.
Right.
And so then I just started asking for a need to be met. I was like, hey, I need to go like sit in a quiet space, or I need to go read, or I'm going to go for a walk by myself. Now I maybe take a nap maybe once a month, twice a month, which was like, guys, we're talking like 2 hours every day. Like my system was so jacked. But I had this belief of that I let myself do it, that it would go on forever. And then I would just be this lazy person. Now I have sold out courses. I literally am extremely supportive, very involved, like with my kids, with my family, with my husband. We have the best relationships we've ever had. And I had to walk through that. I had to give myself permission to do the thing so that I could trust myself that it wasn't going to go on forever.
Right. That, okay. So like those, there's two like really big themes that we just talked about, which number one is just being okay and going through with all of the beliefs and the things that we have around resting and creating some sort of like balance within work and rest and how we show up. Like there's always so many fear, not always. I know that in my world, I have a lot of people who have a lot of fears around what resting actually looks like, which you just talked about like to a T, right? It's like, oh, it's always going to be this way. No, not necessarily, but we also, and I had this, right? Like I had to take 8 months off of training in order to finally get my immune system to stop giving me daily hives. Ugh. Ugh. And I had to rest. I had to like recover. Like it's a long, long, long time. Like I couldn't even walk. It was so crazy. Like anyway, stress on my system, right? But like that fear of resting is huge. And then I saw it again in pregnancy show up again, which is why it's in the motherhood course, because it's for motherhood course, because it's so important. Yeah. Yes. And also the other thing that you talked about there too is being, so once you were able to recognize that shift and that change, it was asking for what you needed. So like saying and being comfortable with saying like, I need support in this area. And there's also oftentimes a lot of beliefs around and fears around asking for support, feeling worthy of asking for support, feeling worthy of receiving support, and being able to ask for those needs and meet our own needs. Like those are huge themes that like, whether you're a mom or not, or whatever, like these are big life. They're like themes. They're big things that like can make such a huge shift. And just as you talked about, like you and I each went through different ways of getting there, but they each looked like getting to actually do the thing that's needed to then be able to move forward from there and bring in the new thing that we've always wanted, that we were working towards. It's like, you know, you kind of create the pathway for yourself. You just don't know what it's going to look like. But I don't know if you would say this, but I think that's where having support and communities and plugging into containers and people that are also prioritizing this work is really critical.
Yeah, on it, and that's like we just had a big conversation about this because after you do one round of the happiness cycle, we offer a 1 year coaching container where you can
So
do the
good.
happiness cycle 4 more times. You can also get 4 hours of one-on-one coaching, split up however you want. And one of the girls was asking, she was like, okay, why? I literally have this slide that keeps buzzing me. Clearly something important that I need to know. And she was asking, she was like, why would I keep doing it and how much work would I expect? And I said, well, each time you go through it, the work becomes less, obviously, right? The first time that you learn something, like if I told someone to go learn a new sport or like a brand new mom, like it takes a lot those first few weeks to figure out the schedule, to get the things like, oh, I do need that. Oh, I don't need this, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Then it becomes easier. It becomes a rinse and repeat. That is not the moment that you want to give up on something
Right.
because your neurological system, your brain, it loves patterns and repeat. So if you've been doing the same thing for the last 15 years, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I loved the happiness cycle. I loved like your mom coaching, like whatever it is. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, that was really great. Okay, on to the next thing. Your brain never sets it as a pattern. So that's why it's so important. And that's where community comes in. That's where it's like maybe the actual coursework doesn't take that much time, but now you're more inundated in the community. You're listening, you're learning how to be a leader. Like there is something too, once you can teach something, you've integrated it. So I tell all my members, I'm like, once you can teach the happiness cycle to someone else, like you're done. Like your pattern has been created. And you know, I've went through the happiness cycle. Like I do it every single time with my clients because it's simple, it's fast, it's effective, and it gives me community. Like I typically spend maybe 1 hour a week outside of the call that I do. But it helps me stay in that mindset. And I think that, like you said, that's what's really important. If you want to change your nervous system, that's what's really important.
Right. So the happiness cycle, what is it? Talk to it. How did it come about? And if people are interested and want to learn more, where can they find you for that? So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Perfect. Well, mobilityathletes.com/happiness cycle is where you can find it.
Don't worry, the link will be in the show notes. You can go right underneath and pop in, be right there for you.
And so it is 5 weeks of work, a 6 week program. So we do an integration week before the last week. And what it's really about is people that are craving consistency, community, and they're craving their goals, right? So you are either living in, I call burnout whenever it's like emotions just overrun you and you can't do crap anymore. You're just like, that's burnout for me. Overwhelm is like literally this
I
fly
know.
on
It
the
agrees. The fly agrees.
and then overwhelm is like all the emotions are shut down, but I still can't do anything. I'm just kind of like bleh. And then hustle mode is like I can do all the things, but I'm really not getting the goal that I want, and there's not any excitement here. It's just like I'm just checking a list, checking a list. If you are living in any of the three of those, then in order to get to success, what has to happen is one, we've got to regulate your nervous system and improve your emotional intelligence. Like, can you process your own emotions and those around you? And the other thing is consistency. Yes, you do have to have habits to your goals. You do have to have things that you're doing consistently. That's why that really helps push you into success. You will achieve your goals. That's why I asked the question, like, could you do that habit for the next 5 years? If the answer is yes, awesome, let's do it. If the answer is like, I have no idea, you might want to make it a little easier because consistency will win all the time. And your brain will resort to whatever pattern is the easiest that it can be consistent at,
Correct.
even if it's something you don't like. So that's what the happiness cycle is. It actually, I created it in that 7 months that I had off. I started writing down my journey and all the clients' journeys that I'd been on in the past. And I wrote a book. And when I got done and I read it, inside of it was a happiness cycle, separated into really four congruent parts, which spells paid, because, like, gosh, money in the hands of healers. Like, I want everybody getting paid by, like, energy, getting paid by money, getting paid by a life that they freaking love. That's what I want. So, yeah, the happiness cycle is, it's really about moving from overwhelm, burnout, or hustle mode to actually success, community, achieving your goals, celebrating the crap out of them.
Love it. I love it. So, at the time of this recording, you have a new, and the next round's coming up in April.
Yeah, April 16th will start. Yeah, so you guys will see, there'll be some really fun stuff coming out too. I'm going to do a whole workshop on nervous system regulation, and then be doing some hot seat coaching too. So it's going to be, it's my first time ever doing free hot seat coaching. So it's going to be a really invaluable time for people to come in, actually get, like, show up with whatever problem is going on and figure out how nervous system regulation can actually help you get to a solution in that.
Really, really good. Okay. So we'll have the link to all of that, and also where you can find Nicole on Instagram and social media as well. So you can look out for when that that hot seat coaching and talking about the nervous system regulation, all of that comes up. And then if you're catching this as a replay down the road, make sure to just check out her website and get in touch with Nicole, because I can probably imagine that this will be around for a while. So
5 years minimum.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. I love that. Nicole, thank you so much for being here. I love these conversations. They fill me up so much. So really appreciate having you, and for being willing to come back on the show.
Thank you. Well, thank you for hosting this container. Thanks for asking me to come back on, and thanks for continuing to be willing to pivot and show up in authenticity. I think it rings true in all your conversations and everything that you're putting out.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. And we will see you next week for another episode. Take care.